And I now there's 20 people on this sheet. I made a copy of it today, and that are signed up to be water baptized. If you haven't signed up yet, it would be good for you to do that. It just helps us in the whole planning of it and the flow of it. There is a clipboard with a sign up on that little table back by where David is, or where he was. He's walking away right now. But everybody know who David is back there? Everybody turn around, look at David back there. Hold that thing up, David. Yeah, come on, give David a big hand. He's the man. And we're going to keep these T-shirts out one more week that David is so proudly displaying, too. Look at David again. So tonight and Sunday, we've only got a few left. They're a great T-shirt. It would be awesome if there were none left by Sunday. So they're $10. We don't make a nickel on them. We just want to help to remind you of the word that came on that. It's time. And isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord together tonight? Father, I thank you just for the next few moments. Take your word. Let each one of us apply it to our heart where we need it to work. For your honor, I pray. Anoint, Lord. You said that the anointing rests upon your word already, and I know it's there. I know it's in this house tonight. God, I know you have intended to do something so fabulous tonight. So have your way. Move mightily in every life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I want you to open up your Bible, and I want to read to you out of Matthew chapter 3 is where I first want to start. And some of these, I want you to take this with you because I won't go over every one of this tonight. But it's important for you to know the reason for water baptism. A lot of people have come to me over the years, said, you know, I got baptized when I was a baby. Well, you probably didn't get baptized. You probably were dedicated. Maybe you were sprinkled. But the word baptize is a Greek word that means to be immersed. It doesn't mean to be sprinkled. And when you're a baby, you can't make a conscious decision to ask God to forgive you of your sin and ask him to come into your heart and into your life. Water baptism is a statement of faith that my old life is behind me and I have a new life in front of me. The scripture, I haven't got it on here, but 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new person, a new creature. Old things are behind him. And thank God, how many of you love it that new things are coming to us tonight? And water baptism also signifies repentance. John came and God called him to this, to baptize into a baptism of repentance. And repentance is not a dirty word. Repentance, the word means to quit moving in one way and start going into another way. So when God comes into a person's life, when Christ comes into us, when you answer the call and you say yes to Jesus, it doesn't mean that you just go and keep on doing everything you do. Because when Jesus comes into you, you might still do what you did, but from here on out, it's going to be harder to do it because the Holy Spirit, he's always there. He should be anyways, knocking on the door of your heart and saying, that's not for you. He's not there to be critical. And there is a fallacy that's going around within many circles that people say, well, I'm not under the law. I'm free and I can do whatever I want. And nothing could be further from the truth. God empowers you and I to live a new life, a different life. And he works on the inside out, not necessarily on the outside in. He's not, you know, years ago, they used to call some people, they used to call them clothesline preachers because years ago, and in, actually still in some denominations, the women can't cut their hair. They got to wear long dresses, long sleeves, no makeup. And that's not holy. In fact, in some cases, that's just plain dumb. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about changing on the inward and letting him work inside of you. And so when we go through the waters of baptism, after we make Christ our Lord and Savior, he must be first in your life. I mean, after we go through the waters of baptism, it's an outward expression of the inward work that is happening inside of us, that the old man, the old person in our life is no longer dominating who we are. But now there is a new creature in Christ. And water baptism in and of itself doesn't make you more holy or more acceptable. It is you believing and identifying with the work that he's done, and you by faith letting that activate who you are. Water baptism is a great way of you giving testimony of the work that has happened in your life. You know, over the years, people have said, well, I don't want to get baptized in front of anybody, you know. And I understand that, you know, it's, you know, people come in here, you're in one way. And when you come in on Sunday morning, you're going to get water baptized. You're going to have some shorts and a t-shirt on, and your hair's not going to look good. And if you got makeup on, ladies, it's going to run off because you're going under the water. And just for some of you, I've never left anybody under the water. They've always come back up. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1, I just want to read this chapter to you. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Almost 700 years before, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Verse 4, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. I'd like to meet that dude when we get to heaven. He's got to be one rare character. Camel hair, a leather belt, and he's eating locusts and wild honey. That is some look. That is something. And then Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Look at that. This is why it's important for you to read along, have a Bible. They were not only baptized, but they confessed their sins. Why? Because John came with a baptism, not only in water, but of repentance, turning away. You know, I was doing some study and research on this, and no great movement of God ever came without there being confession of sin. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to get in a tank and say, you know, this and that about your life, but you do have to tell it to God. You have to confess to the Lord. Verse 7, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, now here's John, this is his manner, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water, look at, unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He, speaking of Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We had some fire down here tonight. Verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand. Get the picture. And he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, there's a picture of of the end time and this that I don't want to really go into, but this is the power of Jesus, that he's looking to separate wheat, that which is beneficial, from chaff, that which is not of the Lord and not committed to the plan that God has. In verse 13, now this is what I want, this is what I really want to, this is the why I wanted to read this section. I love Matthew. I love Matthew 3. It's so cool. I love talking about John the Baptist. He's just so cool. Verse 13, it says, Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. Remember, John said just in a few verses before this, there's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy even to unloose. And so Jesus comes to him and says, and tries to say, Jesus, no, I can't baptize. Can you imagine that? I mean, Jesus, John knew who he was. But Jesus answered and said to him in verse 15, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And here's the point here that I want to make to you. Jesus himself displayed following, committing, and obeying what God had done and wanted to be done through the waters of baptism. And then he allowed him, and when, verse 16, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Look at, no sprinkling, no little dabble, do you? He went into that dirty, nasty Jordan River, and it is dirty. It is the dirtiest of the dirty, and it's not some big from here across the street. It may be from here to the wall wide. But Jesus went in it out of obedience. And the Bible says that when he came up out of the water, get that? He was immersed. He came up out of the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, look at, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, isn't that powerful? Through obedience to Jesus. Remember, Jesus led a life of obedience even to the death of the cross. Now, go a little farther in your New Testament to Romans chapter 6. And I want to read to you Paul's communication on this. Because again, water baptism outwardly demonstrates what's happened inside. Water baptism helps us to grasp the reality of the truth that the old you has died. Now listen, it's a walk by faith. It really is. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to start reading right from the first verse again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? And I just want to encourage you tonight that can the grace of God cover you and deliver you and I from our sin? Yes. Yes, it can. But Paul says, what shall we say then? Because they were having this conversation in the prior chapter. What shall we say? Should I continue in sin? Should I continue in doing what's wrong? Even though we know that the grace of God will help us, should we continue to doing that? The grace of God may abound? Verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Here is the spiritual dimension that he is trying to communicate to us, that if truly you and I have been born again and the Spirit of Christ lives in us, that doing the things that we always did before, they will not be a part of our lives any longer. Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now here is where the picture comes alive. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And look at this verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We've been united when the Spirit of God comes in us, when we become born again, when we accept him into our heart to take over our lives, and the Holy Spirit begins to make that work in us, we've been united together. And the word there actually is defined by a grafting in, something like a horticulturist would take a vine or a branch and tape it onto another plant or tree, and actually that branch, they would find that to become a part of the tree. And that's what he says. When you're united together in death, you're not only united, not only the old man and the old ways and the old practices die, but now a new life, we've been united together. Knowing, verse 6, that your old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, but he who has died has been freed from sin. Praise God. Now, I tell you, I've seen people come out of the baptism, the water. I've seen, over the years, I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen people go in and come out, just come right out of the water, not even know anything about it, just begin to speak in another tongue. Because the Spirit of God comes upon them through their obedience and something powerful. Their faith is reaching out so far. They're not only freed from the power of sin in their life, but now the power of God's Holy Spirit is doing such a work that it is a definable demonstration of his will and his work inside of them. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, verse 9, having been raised from the dead, dies no more to death, no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but for the life that he lives to God. Likewise, verse 11, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we obey God in the waters of baptism, there's this realization of conviction that should come upon your life. If you're just going in it to get wet, you're going in it. If you just think that going in the water, everything is going to be different just because you're doing that, you have to lay your faith together with what God wants to do in your heart and in your life, and you will see the power of Jesus come alive inside of you. Therefore, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Everybody say that with me. Say, for sin. Come on, everybody say it. Say, for sin shall not have dominion over me. For you are not under law, but you're under grace. That is so beautiful. That's powerful. I love that. The old man being gone, being delivered from that life. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 8. I'm running out of time, but I want to, just a couple of scriptures I want to read to you. This Acts chapter 8 is absolutely one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Word of God. I love this. Those of you who just love to talk about Jesus to other people, you're going to love this. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I know I got a lot of favorite scriptures, don't I? Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. And Philip himself is just a unique character. I wish we could just talk about him a minute. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Many people want God to call them where they know they're going to be a crowd. But here God is calling Philip to a desert. Never get discouraged when God calls you and you feel like you're the only one. Anybody ever felt that? You felt like you're the only one. What's going on? Verse 27, so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake, or just get right up in his grill, overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him. You know, and we don't have the time, but this Candace, this Ethiopian eunuch, was a servant of Candace, the queen, holding on, having control of all the finances and the money, the Bible says the treasury. And here God sends Philip into the desert to have a rendezvous, because look what's going to happen next. Go near, overtake the chariot. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or another man? And then Philip, look at this, I love this. He opened his mouth, underline this in your Bible. He opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. I just like that. That's just the evangelist in me, I guess. Now as they went down the road, they came, look at this, to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, here it is. This is the qualification. If you believe with not part, all of your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Whoo! He just had a convert right there. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Look at the word. He went down into the water. And when they, here it is again, the phrase, when they came up out of the water, look at the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. I'm looking for that. You know, on Sunday I get done baptizing everybody. If you see me no more, you just know the Spirit of God just, boop, took me out of here. But here's something, and I just want to sow this little thought in you. Anytime people obey the work of the Lord in their life, something from the Holy Spirit always shows up. I like it. And Philip was found. So the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That would be just an eye-opening experience. Verse 40, but Philip was found in Azotus, or Ashdod, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I just love that story. The man had to believe. He had a sense of trying to understand who God was. But Philip said, you must believe in Jesus with all of your heart. This is the first prerequisite. Not half, all of your heart. And when he did, he said, what prevents us from being baptized? Philip said, nothing. There's water. Let's go. Let's do it. Luke chapter 23, verse 43 says, Jesus said to him, do you have to be baptized in order to be saved? The answer is no. Because in Luke chapter 23 and 43, the thief on the cross, when he asked Jesus that day, he said, remember me. And Jesus said, truly, surely, this day you'll be with me in paradise. You don't have to be baptized to make it to heaven. But it is an act of obedience. And it's something that you and I should do. So I just want to end up on this last page of the summary, the main points to remember. And I want you to read this, especially if you're here, you're going to be baptized. You need to go over that some more because, you know, 25 minutes. You can't do it all. Water baptism, it doesn't make you a Christian or it doesn't make you right with God. It's only a symbolic act. It has no power in and of itself to save you. He can only do that. It is a testimony of what has already happened inwardly in your heart, in your life. It's a complete immersion in the water. There's no, I just want to step in and step out. Honey, you're going under. It's best to be done in public. It should be done only by someone who is old enough to understand what they were doing. That's why, you know, when people say, I've got this age of a child, they need to understand what is going on. And kids are different. I think I've baptized kids as young as 8 years old, seven, and some that haven't understood until they were in their teens. And it should be done by those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ or are committed to him. So here's a couple other points for the end of it. How do you prepare? You come, bring what you're going to be baptized in a bag and something with you. Shorts, not tight shorts. No spandex, no ladies, no two-piece bathing suits, you know, dark clothes. Bring two towels with you. You're going underwater, so anything else you want to do after that. Guys, you know, no skimpy little nothing, okay, guys? No Speedos, no. Shorts, cover up. Remember, you're going in the water when you come out. Just, okay. And most of all, invite all of your family, because at the end, they'll see what you've done. And I'll just share for 10, 5, 7 minutes at the end. And people that will be here Sunday morning that have never known Christ, they'll give their heart to Christ right then and there. In fact, I've seen people give their heart to the Lord and come down right then and there and get baptized. I baptized a guy one time in a three-piece suit. He had the whole thing on. He got right up and he had a jacket. I said, I've never baptized anybody. I don't know if I ever saw him again. He came in. He gave his heart to the Lord. He came up. I want to get baptized. Left the jacket on. He had a vest on. Baptized him. He walked right out. It wasn't as nice a weather that day as it was. It's going to be on this way. It was just the most amazing thing that I ever saw happen. So make sure. This is your chance. Hey, I'm getting baptized on Sunday. Invite all your family. And then, you know, do something afterwards. Go out. Have lunch together. But make it it's a celebration. It's going to be fun. How many of you are excited for this coming Sunday? Amen. Father, thank you tonight for what you have done in the house tonight. What you have, even before the lesson tonight, God, you're moving hearts of people being touched and challenged and changed. I thank you, Lord, for your great love to us. You're so concerned for each and every one of us. You're so concerned for us, God. God, I love you tonight. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, work great things in the hearts and the lives of your people, I pray. Work great things in their heart, in their lives, in their families. Take care of the challenges and the issues that they're struggling and dealing with, I pray. Be Lord of all. Be Lord of all. I pray blessing on this beautiful family tonight. Thank you for their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. I love you a lot. Make sure you say hi to somebody before you leave. How do you make a friend? Yeah.